Hello.
Hi, Jay. It's Nanette and Robert.
I am speaking to the think tank behind the irreverent and irrepressible IRTE. How are you guys?
We're great.
Doing pretty good. Yep.
You both sound exhausted, but that's okay. I would only imagine you're up to show number 3 of your 4-show season.
Yeah, we're actually just starting work on show number 4 while we're performing show number 3.
Oh, good, because you have just so much time on your hands.
Yeah.
I know. It's a crazy marathon of work we do.
How to fill it? I don't know.
Now you guys are true conquering heroes, because I remember when improv was like everybody was trying to do an improv show, and then obviously for lack of better terms, not to sound like I'm doing Game of Thrones, but the ones that couldn't do it just seemed to disappear. You guys are still on top. You guys are still there, and you're all over the place in terms of nationally. And now you have you're up to show number 3, and the reviews have been gorgeous. And from what I hear, the houses are marvelous. How's the season going? How's everything going?
It's been going really well. It's nice to sort of see things flowing a bit and coming together. As you said, like, we've been around a while. This is our 8th season. So we've really learned a lot in the following seasons of like how to really put this together and do the work and gather the right people. It's just feels like this year it's really everything's really come together.
Yeah, it's been great fun this year. We've had great casts and great houses that have really enjoyed everything, and I'm going to wind up directing 3 of the pieces.
Oh, that's great.
And act in one of them, and I'm performing in the current one, The Evil Clowns Have Feelings Too. A blast, really, a lot of fun.
It's also nice seeing, I'm noticing that we're now starting to have audience members coming back, which is always a good thing.
Oh, return business is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really nice to actually have people who have seen us before and who, it sounds so sad, who choose to come back and see us again.
You're having that not only with audience, but you're having that with reviewers. Anthony Piccioni contacts me and says, when's the next IRTE? Anthony Piccioni, a reviewer for On Stage Blog, he actually calls me and he says, when's the season? So you guys have made a hit with industry. You guys have made a hit with audience. Let's talk about your audience for a minute. What I first loved when I saw your very first show way back when was that you hit the good old pop culture stuff. I see Scooby-Doo. I see horror movies. I see The Love Boat going by. I see disaster films. I love it. What kind of audience do you get? Do you get young people going, wow, this is cool? Or do you get people my advanced near-death age who say, oh, I remember that show. I remember that series. Who's your audience?
I are having like everybody from that range. There
oh,
are
great.
People who remember these disaster movies like The Pine Adventure and Scooby-Doo, and the young kids like it too, because I think we're so fast-paced and really when the cast are clicking, it's just this high energy roller coaster of stuff.
Yeah, I think we reach out to very different communities. We've had kind of some varied audience, which sometimes surprises me who we see in the audience. It's not always what I expect, but we do reach out to different communities who might not necessarily come out and see our show. For instance, we donate tickets to High Five Tickets for the Arts, which is part of Teen Arts Connection,
right,
which introduce high school and actually younger, although we prefer high school because sometimes our shows can have some adult content.
Yeah, there you go.
But they give out tickets to shows to high school students to introduce them to theater and to different types of theater, not just Broadway and off-Broadway, but also dance, museums, and something like us, which is kind of a melding of a lot of traditional theater and then comedy, improvisational comedy theater. And then we also occasionally we post in with Theater Development, TDF, Theater Development Fund. So we have people who are checking us out for the first time because they see it come up and they're like, oh, this is different. We'll come out and see it. And then they come back.
Excellent.
That's really helpful. It's really nice because they may not have necessarily sought us out if we hadn't come through their channels, but then they do come back. So that's really a positive aspect of it.
That's gorgeous. So essentially you're keeping old fogies like me very happy by seeing Saturday morning cartoons and Irwin Allen disaster movies. And and then you get your young folk who may not know the reference, but who understands the fast pace, the razor sharp wit that you're handing them within an improvisational situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that whole, those old shows are really, I think, new in their eyes.
Yeah, completely.
Appreciated in a different way than the older audience does.
I used to hear people say, oh, I saw it when it was on TV on Channel 5. Then I heard a lot of people say, I saw it at Nick at Night. Now I'm hearing it was on YouTube. So,
so
you're bringing it right to them.
It's funny with the whole, with everything, is now accessible online.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a time when you would never see some of these shows again that we grew up with, but now they're kind of, there's so much content that's so readily available to everyone that there's nostalgia and then there's people who are just seeing it for the first time.
So you're even, it makes your job even easier because if someone sees your show and then out of nowhere they see a correlative thing on YouTube, it makes them want to come back because now they appreciate your humor even more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that humor. I think improv is amazing, and I'm terrified of it. Groucho Marx had the remark, he said, pardon me, I have to go home and rehearse my ad-libs. I think I said that, Nanette, when I spoke to you the last time. But now, what is your criteria when you pick performers for this? Because this is because you're the improvisational repertory theater ensemble. You're grabbing people who not only can figure out what to do with the banana, the umbrella, and the wig at the last possible second, but you want them to build character with it. What's the criteria? What do you look for in your actors?
Well, one, we look for very good actors.
We're
theatrically trained, but we also look for people who come from an improvisational background who has worked in this medium before. And luckily, we're in New York, so there's no lack of talent. There are so many people who are so well trained.
Oh, sure. Do you find you get what I'll call guest artists, people, veterans of other improv companies who want to share their skills with you guys?
Yeah, we've had a few. I think this year we've worked with a couple people who've been on different teams for years. The common improv schools, I guess, call certain cast teams.
Okay.
Call them ensembles. But and they've come over. It's a very we're doing something really different with the costuming and the props than these house teams from these schools do. And I think it really engages the performer in a different way than they're used to.
Excellent.
And we've found some really great stuff with them this year, I think.
Yeah, I think we get to scratch a different sort of itch than other
shows. Well said. Well said. Yeah. That's really cool. I would imagine your performers come away as energized as your audience when the show is done. Let's now you're 8 years and you're at the Producers Club. How many years are you at the Producers Club?
Oh boy, let me see. We started, I have to think about that for a second. I think we started, actually I'm cheating, I'm looking it up.
Well, like, let me think about this. Turn. Very good.
Let me think.
Maybe even five. I
5 years, wow.
I think our earliest shows were...
Yeah, I think we started there... Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, our earliest shows were at places like the Parkside Lounge and the Luca Lounge. and
we did some shows at the Pit.
Bars
well.
And yeah, we had performed
at the Pit. Yeah, we've been at Producers Club since 2014.
Wow. Okay, two-part question. What has changed? What has changed in the last 4 or 5 years? What do you now look at and go, oh, we have to do this now because of this? It could be the space, it could be the people, it could be anything. What's new? What's forcing you to rethink things these days? How has things changed?
I think one thing that's changed is how we use our musical guests, how we incorporate them. We used to just have somebody come in and play a musician as sort of an intermezzo. I wouldn't say intermission because we didn't want anyone actually leaving the theater.
Yeah, there you go, right.
But it was definitely a separate thing from the narrative show going on. But we've kind of realized like we should just incorporate them more and bring them into the world of the show so they have actually a character, and that they then their musical performance is spread throughout the show. So it's a little more melded together. We found that that's, I think, a better show.
I noticed that in some of the material, David Jay played a stripper, and yes. And Tim Moss, I saw in the photos, he was like right there in the center of everything. Wow, Tim Moss in the center of everything. What a surprise right there.
I know, he's so shy and tiring.
Oh, yeah, really, the shrinking violet that he is. So what's different now with your cast and your musical guests, now it's becoming one organism, which is gorgeous. How about your audience? Has the audience changed? Do you get a different type? Do you get are the laughs different? Are people expecting something new? How is New York audiences changing in the last half decade?
Oh, how is New York audience? That's a bigger question.
Yeah. Well, your audience. Let's start with that. How's your audience changed?
That's a great question. I think our audience has actually become more varied. We're, I think, attracting more people who would simply go to traditional theater.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why they're showing up to see us, but they're checking us out, and we have people who have been really enjoying it. I just talked to, it's great being a performer. Sometimes people come up to you after the show and talk to you about it. And this couple came up to me after our last performance and thought it, you know, was terrific and blah, 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 blah. But she felt so happy to have found us because every other play, you know, they're seeing legit scripted plays. Every play they've been seeing lately has been so serious and dour.
Interesting.
She was glad to see some sort of just far out comedy.
I think also audiences, I've noticed audiences are more comfortable with interactive theater than they have been in the past. I think it's just become, there's more and more out there that audiences are no longer scared if you talk directly to them, or they want to be more involved.
Right.
You of course always have audience who want to have that separation, and you can tell instantly who they are and you leave them alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the ones shaking their heads. No, okay. No, actually, but yes, I think audiences are more comfortable with interactive theater, and I think they're more willing to take a chance on theater that has some improvisational element in it. I think when we started, as with every theater company, when you start out, it's usually your close-knit circle of friends and family and friends of friends who come see you.
Of course.
And then, but I've noticed that we've grown and we've noticed that the people are, that we don't know, are coming to see us, and they're coming back. And they're not necessarily an improvisational audience. In fact, I think that most of our audience is not the typical audience that goes to improv theater. Because I think that we're a combination of both improv theater world and a theater world, something that they're more used to seeing.
That is really a triumph. I'm really so impressed to hear that. It's easy to say, okay, we're in a club and the club audience came. We're in a cabaret and the cabaret audience came. It's really simple to say that. But the fact that you are getting the theater crowd, you're getting the folks, okay, I don't want to see what's on Broadway. What else is there? I'm going to this. That you're attracting that audience. That's phenomenal. And I'm so happy to hear that they want to interact with you. I'm really thrilled to hear that. I'm sure you have that, yeah, like you said, that one person in the back, hey, give us a word. No, leave me alone. But I'm
and I respect that because, you know, you're all welcome in the audience.
Yeah.
You don't have to interact. You can sit in the back and we'll know who you are.
Did you buy a ticket? Okay. We'll leave you alone. You just sit there and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, we'll take care of you. Either way, we'll take care of you.
I think that's another thing that we've learned over the years is our particular style of show is we do better when we actually are in a theater in which the audience is super close, practically in our lap.
Right.
Because it is interactive. That if we were on a proscenium stage with a separation, it may not translate as well.
That's really clever. That's a really clever thought also. I was going to say, I saw Chicago City Limits a million years ago when they were on the Upper East Side. And that theater, it has a very high proscenium. And mm-hmm. So I thought I was just watching a regular show. I was like, what makes it improv? Because they were far away from me. But when I come to see you guys, you're right there. Oh my God. The last time you did Stupid Kid, I ended up being on stage, but let's not talk about that. you're right there. So it's like, we are at the party. We are at the event. We are in the cottage. We are on the boat. So you really give us that experience, which is marvelous.
Right. So many, there's no football.
So many groups try to keep that Wagnerian, you know, stay 20 feet away from me sort of behavior. So it's great that you guys are stepping right into the audience. And yes, you're right. Immersive theater and immersive film seems to be taking over. So you were trendsetters on that. What's next? We're up to season 8. You're looking at season 10, I'm sure. You're going to have the 10th anniversary. I'm holding my breath for it. but what's next? When you're going to, and you're all workaholics, which is marvelous. So the moment you're done with season 8, you're going to be starting season 9. What's next for us from IRTE?
Oh, that's great. It's a great question.
Yeah, that's a good question. Season 9.
Let's decide it right now, Robert. Jay, what do you want to see?
Oh, excellent. There you go.
I think during the summers, we always take a moment, breathe, and then we go back over what we liked during the year, during the season, and what we want to do next time. We may, who knows, revamp structures a bit.
Yeah, we have talked about bringing some shows we've done in the past back as sort of a revival.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. I know you did that with the Groovy Gang at one point, which was great. So that's mm-hmm. very cool. Oh, yeah. And that solidifies your repertory, which is wonderful. Eventually the shows become as famous as the group. So that's really a clever idea.
Yeah. And it's like the stuff we've learned ongoing through the seasons. Well, with the Groovy Gang as an example, I felt it was a very different show. It had evolved. We're put it together in a much different way than we put together the first time we used the gang.
I remember it when you first did it, and I laughed out loud. I'm happy to hear that seems to become a staple member of the repertory. Mm-hmm. What have you now? You said about what we've learned. If you could be sagely, and what have you learned from trial and error, from difficulty, from those, phew, I'm glad that's over moments. What have you learned as a group thus far? If someone were to come to you and say, hey, I'm starting a theater company, what can you tell me? You ancient eight-year added sage, which in the theater world is about, I think, 30 years. What would you say? What would you tell them?
Oh, give yourself, well, we only give ourselves 2 months. I would say give yourself like 3 or 4 months of just working on the pre-production aspect before you even think about going into rehearsals or working a lot in the creative aspects. That way you can free yourself up, that you're not so stressed out get as much of the grunt work out of the way as possible before you start working creatively.
Yeah, I would say that too. You do the grunt work both as a producer in a way, but also as a performer, might be writing biographies about their characters, or the directors might be creating structures. But at a certain point, when you get to performance, you've just got to let it go and be on that stage, be present, be with the audience, be with your fellow actors, and that if you put in the work, it'll be there to hold you up.
That's very cool. Sorry,
I'd also say be aware that people aren't going to love you all the time. And you shouldn't be thrown by that. You should just you love what you're doing. If it engages you, then you're on the right track. But not everybody is going to get or love you all the time, so don't worry.
Good. I was going to say before, most people do not do the work beforehand. I'll speak to someone. I'll say, well, have you rehearsed? Have you gotten ready? Where is it? And they'll go, oh, we're working on that. And they're already 2 weeks from opening. So you're very smart on that. And there could be no more brilliant comment, Nanette, than what you had said. You know, not everybody loves you. I can give horror stories on clients that tell me, I got a bad review and it's your fault. No, I wasn't on stage. I put the person in the room. You just sucked. Okay, stop. So to have that attitude probably even helps the performance, probably gets you through things and makes you guys so much more resilient.
Yeah, of course we all have egos and we all want to be loved. And we all want to be liked.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because we're human beings. But unless you take that off yourself, if you stop expecting it and crushing yourself for not getting it all this time, you'll be so much freer and so much happier and less stressed.
I was going to say, does it make the show better? Okay, they didn't like it. This group was offended. Whatever, who cares? We're doing it more, and it's just going to be great. Does it add to the exuberance of doing it by having that kind of attitude?
I think so. I hope so. It's free.
You're free. Yeah, you're sort of you've jumped off the cliff, and you don't care where you're going to land.
There you go.
You're flying.
Actually, even though it's a horrible thing to go through in some respects, you have a show where the audience just does not get it, does not like it, and you survive, and you don't fall apart, and you don't die, and your theater doesn't crumble into little tiny bits, and you go on, you have other shows that are enjoyed and are liked and loved and whatever, you realize that, yeah, it's not the end-all be-all.
That's great. That's great. Well, that's something you guys don't have to worry about because, like I said, the critics are calling me to come to your show. So I think the level of dislike is probably infinitesimal if it's there at all. It's funny you say that. I had a film producer at one point I worked with who at the end of something, at the end of our working together, he turned to somebody and said, did they sue us? No. Okay, then everything's fine. And he just walked away. So I guess to keep the happy attitude works all the way around.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much. This has been terrific. I will make sure our listeners know that we have one more weekend left of Evil Clowns, and then we're getting a revival of Happy Birthday, Stupid Kid, which was one of your big celebrated pieces last year, and I think you've even taken that nationally, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah. We brought it to a lot of festivals.
It's actually a sequel.
It's a sequel. There you go. How many live shows reach the point of doing the sequel? So there you go. That's great. And yes, you are national. I mentioned that off the cuff, but that's a huge thing. You guys are national as well. You go to festivals all over the country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really fun.
And you book. Yeah, it's great. Let's load the van. Let's go.
Let me explain all the strange clown makeup in my bag to TSA, as well as the plastic knives.
Nowadays, yeah, that's Miss. Why do you have clown makeup in your suitcase? Okay, guys, thank you so much. This has been marvelous. Be brilliant this weekend, and be brilliant with Stupid Kid, And here's to season 9, season 10, season 25 of the Improvisational Repertory Theater Ensemble.
Thank you so much, Jay.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you both soon.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.